Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and we are starting a brand new series. And on this series, we're going to be talking to personalities from the world of sports media, finding out about their stories, finding out about their best moments, their worst moments. We're going to be talking to them about their fantastic careers so far. And I'm delighted to be joined by the wonderful Ali Drew. Ali, welcome to the show. First of all, thank you for being here because I know you're super, super busy. But how are you, first of all?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Glad that the lockdown's easing a little bit and we're starting to get back closer to normal life. But yeah, okay, can't complain. I could, my team could be doing a bit better, but other than that, you know, we can live with that. So Ali, I had the pleasure of talking to you on your show a few days ago, and it was great fun, and I'm a massive fan of your work. Was being in the world of sports media something that you always wanted to do? Is it something you fell into? How did it come about?
Yeah, so I've always knew I wanted to do something in sports and exercise. Obviously, I was really a sporty child and just, you know, always doing different sports. And then when I went to university, I studied sports and exercise science. Knowing that I wanted to do something in sports and exercise, but not really knowing what it was. I also knew that I wanted to do presenting as well. So it took me a while to actually put the two together and realise maybe like sports presenting would be the one. But yeah, it's always been the interest. Sports is just my interest. It's what I'm interested in. It's what I like doing. It's what I like watching. So yeah, there's no better career really than doing it for a job.
Absolutely. It is fantastic. And it is when you care about your job, that's what they say, isn't it? You never work a day in your life. And it really does. Well, I'm not going to say it feels like that every day, because I've had days where I've been like tearing my hair out. But most days anyway, it's a pretty pleasurable experience. You've done all sorts, though, in the past. You've done reality TV. You've been a model. You've done personal training. And I'm sure I've missed some stuff out as well. Talk to me about reality TV, because I'm always really interested in how reality TV can, I'm not going to say, well, it does change your life, but how does it kind of impact you going forward? Did you see it as a positive experience? Were there negatives involved in it? How did you kind of find the whole reality TV thing?
I mean, reality TV wasn't what I intended on doing. I never really intended on doing it at all. But they approached me to do it. And I just thought, well, you know, I'm trying to, at that point, I was trying to do presenting, and it was a slow process. I'd done all the training and it was taking a lot longer than I thought. So I thought, well, this can only be a good thing, surely, to open up, you know, doors, get me more exposure. So I thought, right, let's just go for it. So I did it, and I loved the experience. You know, I went in there knowing how I wanted to sort of come across, what I was going to do in there, what I wasn't going to do. So I was pleased that I came across very well. I came across as me. I didn't do anything that I regret on there. You know, I didn't get drunk or do anything stupid. So yeah, I think, to be honest, looking back, it was like one of the best things I've ever done. I don't know if I'd do it again, like if I had another opportunity. I don't think I'd probably do reality TV again, but I'm glad I did that, because it was just an experience of a lifetime, really. And I did gain what I wanted to from it.
What's the hardest thing, though, about doing reality TV? Because I can imagine having your life in the spotlight, it can be quite difficult. And you was on X on the Beach, which is obviously a very popular program. So you probably were walking around and getting spotted and things like that. But what's the hardest thing about it? Because I can't envisage it being as easy as some people make it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, the actual filming of it was quite difficult, because obviously the type of show I was on, there was a lot of arguments and a lot of people who, you know, didn't really know you but disliked you on the show. So filming I found quite hard. The first few days especially, where everyone was arguing, I'm not really like that, and there was a lot of sort of nastiness, and it's just not really me. But once you get your head around that and you just kind of ignore it, then obviously when it airs, you've got people on social media having their opinion on you, saying about the way you look, saying, you know, that they don't like you even though they don't know you. That was quite difficult to get your head around, for sure. People spot, like, seeing you when you're out was weird. That was weird. Like it's completely gone now, but at the time it was a bit odd, because you sort of forget, and people are staring at you, and you're like, why are they staring at me? And then you think, oh, maybe they watched the show. But yeah, I mean, the social media side of it was hard, you know, where you get trolls and people having an opinion on the way you look, or, you know, it's crazy that the way I look should even affect someone who doesn't know me. But yeah, that was probably the hardest out of everything.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, I get trolls on social media, and all I do is talk about Arsenal. So I can imagine sort of putting yourself in the spotlight like that in a bit of it's a vulnerable position to be in, to put yourself there and then to have to deal with the trolls. And when the attacks are all personal, you know, the attacks on me are about my opinions about Arsenal, which I can take. But I can only imagine it is quite difficult. You said you have no regrets of what you did on reality TV, how it went. What was the best part of it, though? You know, because people talk about, you know, for you, it's open doors and it's been great. But if you could pick out one highlight from your time on X on the Beach, what would it be?
The best bit by an absolute mile was before I even went in the villa. It was filming the coming out the sea scenes, you know, where you sort of emerge on the sea. Yeah. They were the best. They're just incredible. They make you feel like amazing. And, you know, you're just like, it's like you're on a film set. You feel like a movie star because you're just filming quite a few scenes and takes of it. And it's just, that was my favourite bit by a mile. I was so excited for that bit. It sort of went downhill once I got in the villa, but that bit, I was like, can't wait for that to be it.
It's almost like a James Bond film, isn't it? Yeah, the way you come out of work. Fantastic. So you always wanted to do sports presenting or sports before that. What was your kind of first break into the sports media world? When did you really feel like I'm getting somewhere now? Because it can be quite a difficult industry to break into, and it can be quite disheartening at times. So when was the first moment where you felt like, yeah, this is going the way I want it to go?
Yeah, I mean, for years I was doing, I did sort of fitness, like Body Power. I did some presenting at Body Power. I did some rugby stuff because obviously I'm from Wales and rugby's massive. But they were still quite few and far between, you know, stuff. I did some for some sort of motorsports because I worked as a grid girl. So I also did some presenting there. But the first time that I felt like I was getting somewhere was when I started doing it for the boxing. So I started working for a channel called British Boxers, who are massive. They're a massive boxing channel. And I basically was doing interviews for them and doing sort of intros and outros to their videos. And it was the first time that I was regularly getting presenting work. I was working with amazing people. You know, I was interviewing top people, you know, Ricky Hatton and world champions. And that was when I really felt like this is what I want to do. I'm getting to do it. I'm actually getting somewhere. So yeah, that I'd say working for British Boxers was the first thing that I thought, yeah, I'm really doing it.
Is boxing your favorite sport then, or is it one that you work the mostly in and that's why?
No, boxing is always my favorite sport. I love football and I do love other sports. I did track and field, I did athletics for years, so I'm very interested in that. But I love boxing. You know, I watched it when I was growing up. My dad did a bit of boxing and he's a boxing fan. So yeah, I love boxing. It's just exciting, and yeah, that's my favorite of all sports.
So as all our listeners are Arsenal fans, we've got to ask you, what's your view on Arsenal? I mean, how do you see Arsenal as a football club? Is it a club that's close to your heart, or could you not give a shit, basically?
Do you know what, at the start of the season, I remember we had DT on the show, you know, from AFTV, and I said I was excited about Arsenal this season. I was really excited that I thought they were going to do really well. And I actually was really excited about the season they were going to have. I actually thought it was going to be like a sort of breakthrough season for them. So I like Arsenal. I do. I'm not an Arsenal fan. That's not the team I support. I don't know if I'm going to say what team I support, but it's not
we'll
the team.
We'll come on to that in a minute and yeah, then we'll pull it apart.
But I do actually, I like Arsenal. I do. And I did think they were going to have a better season than they have. I thought, you know, I had high hopes.
Yeah, I think we all had higher hopes than what we've seen. But of course, Arsenal at the time of recording still in European competition, and fingers crossed we can salvage that season. So that brings me on nicely to who do you actually support? And then my next question and reaction will be dependent on the answer.
So I support Man United.
Oh, I knew it. Yeah. I just knew it.
Yeah, so I'm a Man United fan. have been since I was a kid. So basically, I grew up in Southport, up north. But my brother, he's older than me, he supported United. So therefore, I had to, like, I got his, like, hand-me-down, you know, football shirts and stuff. So I supported Man United from when I was a kid because of him. My family, because I'm Scottish originally, my family support Rangers. So, like, that's sort of my second team. But I am, I'm a Man United fan from back in the good old days.
Ah, oh, you've killed me with that, Ali. You've killed me with that. I would put Man United in my top two most disliked teams. Yeah, easy. It's Man United and Tottenham for me all day. In terms of your presenting career then, and as I said right at the top of the show, you've done all different things. Modelling, how's that going? Is it something that you still do? You talked about sort of the doing the motorsport stuff as well. Are you still kind of active in all of these different areas? And if so, how do you juggle it all?
Yeah, so I do still do some modelling. I've never done full-time modelling. Like, I'm not good enough, to be perfectly honest. I'm not good enough to do it full-time. But I've always got booked for jobs, and I did used to do it a lot. I do still do it, but just not as much. I'm trying to, as I'm getting older, I'm just getting booked less, like, not out of my choice. And also, I'm
sure that's not the case, Ali. I'm sure that's not the case.
I'm, like, actively, you know, I'm not looking for it as much as I used to. So, yeah, I still do bits, but obviously I'm trying to do mainly presenting. The grid girl stuff I haven't done for a while now. And I was a ring girl for boxing as well. But again, I haven't done that for a while now. But I do still do personal training. So I still have one-to-one clients with my PT clients.
What's being a ring girl like? Because how do I put this? Do you feel like everybody's just gawping at you? Like, to put it bluntly, does it feel like that being as a ring girl?
I did think that at the beginning when I used to do this. I did really small hall shows. I did sort of white collar boxing ring girl work. I did some real small hall shows, and then I started working for Frank Warren. At the beginning and the small hall shows, I did think that was the case. I felt like, you know, you're just being gawped at. It was a bit not seedy, but you just felt almost uncomfortable sometimes. But then when I started working for Frank Warren, because it's such a big platform and you're miles away from the crowd, it doesn't really feel like that. So I just got to know people in boxing. It was actually brilliant for me to make connections, because I met so many people doing it for so long that then when I started doing the interviews, I knew them already, so I could contact them saying, "Can you do an interview?" You know, it did actually benefit me massively. But no, I mean, we got looked after well at Frank Warren.
Yeah, no, and I wanted to ask that question. I don't want to put it across in the wrong way, but, you know, there is that kind of that element to it as well. And it must, you know, we talked about feeling vulnerable when you're on a TV show where everybody's nose is in your business. And so, you know, I know that people gawp at ring girls. So, you know, it just, it's interesting to see it from the other side. And
because when I did it, there was actually the whole, they were trying to ban them. You know, they banned the walk-on girls at the darts, which I actually did as well. I did do a bit of walk-on work with the darts before it got banned. And then they were saying they want to ban, you know, ring girls. And to be fair, I don't feel like there'll be any need to ban it, because one, I choose to do it. I don't feel vulnerable when I'm doing it. You know, like this. So that I was very, very sure that why would you need to ban it? You know, this it's not, it's just part of boxing. It's, you know, I felt very strongly that it definitely shouldn't be banned.
Yeah. And as you say, you know, it's your choice to do it. So, and you're right. It is part of the sport. It's part of the culture of the sport. It is what it is. And you know, I could totally get that. And I agree with you on that. In terms of the presenting, then going back again to that, have you ever had any moments in your career where you feel like you've messed something up? You felt like you just wanted the ground to swallow you? Because I've had that happen to me, and I've done nowhere near as high profile stuff as you've done. So what's your kind of worst moment in the presenting world that you can think of, or most embarrassing moment, I guess?
It's always horrific when you say someone's name wrong, or you know, like you know their name, but you just say it wrong, or you have to sort of re-say their name. I think once in an interview I said someone's their fighter's name instead of the coach's name. It wasn't like that bad. I just said, and then obviously I didn't even know the fighter, I knew the coach, so I was like, I don't know why I've just done that. But that's always bad. You think, God, the least like I should get right is their name. But it's just, you do just mess up. And like, I'm quite lucky that I've not done loads and loads of live stuff. So anything you get wrong, you can just redo the take.
Yeah.
I got a location. I was interviewing Steve Robinson from Cardiff, the former world champion. And I said about a fight that he had in Cardiff. And he was like, no, it wasn't in Cardiff. And I was like, no, I think it was. And he was like, no, it wasn't. It didn't happen in Cardiff. And I was like, no, I'm sure that fight happened in Cardiff. He was like, no, I would know. Like, it didn't happen. And I was like, yeah, okay, so we'll just cut this bit out because obviously I've got my facts wrong.
Yes, start again. Exactly. What about sort of your best moment where you felt the biggest buzz, you know, a moment in your career where you've gone, yeah, this is where I want to be?
Probably, I mean, it's been difficult because I've had some massive moments over the last year, but they've been over Zoom. So, you know, I interviewed Eddie Hearn, but it was over Zoom. And it was amazing to interview him, but over Zoom, it's just not the same. Last week, I returned to the boxing shows and it was amazing. That was just, it was a year and 2 months since I was last at a boxing show. So that was probably my favourite moment ever, was just being able to interview them at a show, watch the show, see like the winners afterwards. It was just the best feeling being back. It's been so long and you just appreciate it so much more now.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And obviously you're working alongside Frank Warren. Everybody knows, anybody who's anybody in the world of sport knows who Frank Warren is. What's he like on a sort of one-to-one level? Is he down to earth? Do you feel a little bit starstruck when you're around him? Was it like that at the beginning and maybe eased off? How would you describe Frank Warren as a man?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was ring girling Frank Warren. So I met Frank Warren about 6 years ago, maybe. So I've known him for quite a long time. And at first, yeah, you felt like you couldn't really speak to him. You felt like you didn't want to even really say hello. If he said hello, you'd say hello back, but that would be it. And you think, oh, God, that's Frank Warren there. Or you'd have to be really honest if Frank Warren was like, had come out really ringside. But now he's just really nice that you don't get, when you interview him, he's just gives you great answers, but you feel like you can ask him anything. You know, he's just, I think he's really down to earth and he's been in the game, you know, a long, long, long time. He's an absolute legend in boxing, but he's just like, when you interview, it's just like a nice guy. You know, he just, I really like him. I find him really easy to talk to.
That's brilliant. And it's great to have that kind of close contact and relationship with people that you work with, for sure. AJ Fury, what's going to happen there, Ali? I mean, I've got my opinion on who I'd like to see win. I'd like to see Fury win. For me, he's the more, I'm not going to say that Joshua is not very technical, but I prefer what Tyson Fury brings to a boxing ring. I love his character. I love his style. I think he gets into people's heads really well. And I love him I'm a casual boxing fan. So I want Tyson Fury to win. Who do you want to win? And how do you see that one going when eventually they get it on?
Well, that's such a tough one. I've never been so 50-50, change my mind so much on a fight ever. Normally, even if you want someone to win, you can normally say who you think will win. Even if it's the other person, you still have an idea of who you think will win. But this one, I genuinely have changed my mind quite a few times. I just hope it does happen in July or beginning of August, like they're saying. We need it to happen ASAP. It's just so huge. But I do think that Fury will win, just based on what we've seen, how adaptable he is. You know, when he's you don't think he can box a certain way or he can fight a certain way, and then he does. You know, and just to come back from that first fight with Wilder, you know, when he got what looked like completely knocked out, I just think I'd say I'm probably 51%, 49% towards Fury, but it does. But then when I actually sit down and think, I'm like, would AJ lose? I don't know. Has he learned his lesson from that? You know, where he got defeated before. But yeah, I'd say maybe I'm leaning towards Fury.
Have you met Tyson Fury? Have you ever sort of come face to face?
I've never interviewed him, but I've met him. He's been obviously ringside, like when I've been there. He's always really nice, really just a great guy, isn't he? He's just got the personality. Like, you can't, it's very hard not to like him.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love about Tyson Fury as well is sort of outside of what he does in the ring, we know he's had struggles outside of that. And then to be able to to focus on a fight almost seems to really help him, doesn't it? And it's just, it shows people that if you are struggling with mental health, if you can channel your energy and your mind into a certain thing that you care about and you're passionate about, it can be a massive help. And we've seen him look at points where, you know, he might never fight again, and all of a sudden he's back, and he's back at the top. So yeah, fantastic to see him back in the ring, and hopefully it's very soon, and hopefully he wins. I'm not gonna make any secrets of my allegiances on that one. Ali, am I right in saying that you've got your own business as well, outside of the sporting world? Tell us a little bit about it and how it came about.
Yes, do you mean my dog clothing?
Yes, I do.
The most random thing ever. So I have a dog clothing company called Animal Attire. It started off when I got my dog Brian, so my sausage dog. I'm just so obsessed with him. I've had him 5 years now, but I'm so obsessed. It's just ridiculous. So after a couple of months of having him, I thought, I'm spending so much of my time just doing nothing with him, just being with him, you know, cuddling him, spending, I was dressing him up all the time. So he's always worn clothes. So he actually quite likes wearing, like, if you bring a jumper out, he'll pick his paw up to put his little legs in the sleeves of the jumper. So I thought, right, everyone's asking me where these clothes are from. I love dressing him up. I'm with him all the time. I need to do something where I'm actually earning money from all this time I'm spending doing nothing. And I've got so many ideas of clothes that I want him to wear that don't exist. So I was like, right, I'm going to start a clothing company. So I started off online, and it's going really well.
It's, brilliant. That's good to
hear. It's been brilliant since the lockdown, because obviously it's just all online, so it's been able to carry on. And obviously Brian's the face of it.
There we go. He's become a model as well. I guess
he's got an agent as well. He does out, not just for me, he does proper modelling.
Like, there's more, actually dog
better
agents
than I've ever got. He's models for Next, PK Maxx. Oh yeah. Yeah, he's absolutely killed me on the modeling front.
I had no idea that dogs had agents. That's incredible. Yeah. News to me, but incredible news nonetheless.
And it's such good money, because they have to pay for the dog and for the owner. Like, I've never been paid what he gets paid. It's you just want to throw in the towel for the modeling.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, we've talked about all the things that you've done and that you're continuing to do, and there's so many things. Where do you find the time? Where do you find the time to do all of these things? Keep going, stay motivated. How do you do it? It's tough.
Yeah, I am very busy, really busy actually. But I've always been like that. I work hard. I've always been just sort of dedicated just to working. I live on my own. I've got my own mortgage. You know, I need to pay my bills, so I have to. I'm self-employed, so if I don't work, I don't get paid. But I've just always been really, really hardworking, and I know that I won't get to where I want to be unless I put in the hours and put in the work. So with my presenting, like, I'll just keep working, and then everything else that I'm doing, I need to do it in order to, you know, I need to have that to live all the other stuff, and then, you know, I can then once I'm established, hopefully I'll have a bit more spare time. You know, once I'm where I'm, you know, yeah, want to be with my presenting, I can maybe cut down on everything else, but I've just got to juggle everything until I do get there.
Yeah, and I admire your work ethic, because it's needed, particularly in an industry like this. I guess one of my final questions would be, what advice would you give to a young person wanting to break into this industry? What would be your kind of key tips? What would you tell yourself if you could go back a few years and sort of give yourself some advice in the beginning of your journey towards sports presenting?
I would say just don't give up. So although it seems like you're not getting anywhere, every single thing that you do will be beneficial in the end. So everything happens for a reason. So even if you don't understand, you know, why you're doing all these things for free, they will lead to other things. So just keep going. Don't give up. That I'd say, like, that is the most important, because there's so many times that I think, I just won't bother. I can't do this, not happening. I need to just stop. But you just have to keep going, like, 100%. And make as many connections, meet people, speak to people. It's all about who you know, and you just got to get as many connections, get out there, network as much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Great advice, sound advice. And just the final thing I want to ask you, basically, because we've been talking over the last couple of days to sort of arrange this interview, and I know that you're obviously in isolation now for a boxing show. What's the whole process like now? Because we're obviously in lockdown and you're having to go into bubbles. Is it, you know, how are you finding it? How's it going kind of sort of behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, it's very different. So we have to arrive sort of in the beginning of the week. So the show's on Friday, so we've had to arrive today. You have your sort of, there's a press conference today where you're all masked up, everyone's sort of spread apart. Normally the press conference is crazy. You're all like pushing to get past each other, but it's been, you know, everyone's social distance. And then you go and get your COVID test and then you've got to self-isolate. We get our results around midday tomorrow. And then literally as soon as you get your negative, you're out doing all your interviews, which you would have probably had time to do before. So it seems like there's more of a rush to do things, you know, because you've got less, even though you're in it all week, which normally wouldn't be, you've obviously it's just self-isolating. And then at the show, you have to wear masks. You know, there's masks as you're going around. Everything's set out differently. You know, there's no crowds, which is the biggest, weirdest thing ever. You just, it's just silent. It's so weird to go in. Like, we're watching from like behind the curtain and it's just silence in there. It's weird. But I mean, all we can be thankful for is that it's still going on. You know, there's still sports happening. Because for a while there wasn't. There was no, at the start of, you know, lockdown one, all sports stopped. So even if it's with no crowds and the way it is, I will take it so long as it keeps going.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't just, you know, a lack of sport. There was a lack of interest in sport, I found, because yeah. I was like, when the first lockdown hit and football stopped, and my world revolves around football, my work revolves around football. And I got to the point where I was like, okay, well, we're in lockdown, but I'm going to keep plugging away. I'm going to do podcasts on historic Arsenal matches. I'm going to get in touch with some Arsenal legends and do interviews with them. And the numbers were just awful. And it, and I'd put so much effort and work into content that I thought was actually quite good and probably some of the best I've ever done. But the interest was just not there. It was just everything else had taken precedent, obviously, rightly so. But it's so good to just be back sort of covering sport and people being interested in it again, isn't it? It's so important for us.
I bet you can't wait to be back in the stadium. And
I've been really lucky because I've been one of the few people that's been able to go on a couple of occasions. Mm-hmm. But just to go in and I went to one of the games that Arsenal had 2,000 fans in for, it just wasn't the same. You know, I went to turn to my mate to talk to him about what had just happened and he was about 2 meters away from me and it just wasn't the same. So, you know, yeah, I can't wait to get back and I'm sure you can't wait to welcome the crowds back at the boxing as well.
I know, I never thought, because sometimes it's like, you know, if the crowds are annoying or they're fighting or whatever, you're like, oh God, it's very busy or you can't get through. But like, I'll take annoying crowds, people asking photos all day long just to get them all back, just to get the atmosphere back.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Ali, how can people follow you on social media and keep up with the great work you do? Tell them about Sportology as well and how they can keep up to date with that and all the brilliant content.
Yeah, so you can follow my personal socials is Miss Ali Drew on Twitter and Instagram. And then Sportology, which is the sports YouTube channel, which I run, which is we focus on football, boxing, some UFC, hoping to branch out for more sports. That's also on YouTube. So Sportology TV, the same on socials. So you can get following that because we get some good guests. You've been on.
There you go. Top quality guests. What more can I say?
What more do you want?
Exactly. And I'll leave the links in the description. So make sure you check those out. Make sure you give the video a like. Make sure you subscribe to the channel if you're new. And if you're interested in becoming a member, click on the link in the description. Ali, thank you so much for joining me. And I look forward to speaking to you again, hopefully in the very near future.
Thanks for having me on. Great talking to you.